So impure states create the habitual round of pain and dissatisfaction for ourselves and for others too. Our impure states, in other words, create the suffering in this world. Pure states of mind create happiness. If we speak or act with a pure mind, happiness follows like a shadow that never departs. The word for happiness is sukha, which can also mean bliss and well-being. So a mind, if we occupy our mind with pure states, there is this never-departing happiness. There's this never-departing bliss and well-being. If we're just always concentrating on states of generosity, loving-kindness and so on, happiness, well-being, will never depart, like a shadow. It's an interesting image, isn't it? The shadow that never departs. And I was sort of wondering, well, this word shadow, and two things that occur to me. Well, in a way, perhaps what it's getting at is that the shadow is kind of like a friend, like a companion that's always with you. If we're occupying ourselves with pure states of mind, we'll have this kind of companionship with happiness, this companionship with well-being all the time. It'll never leave us. Or you could perhaps think of a shadow being something like an aura, if you like. And you meet people sometimes, don't you, that have a kind of presence, a brightness around them. They're very benign, benevolent. And they sort of radiate. And, you know, maybe it's because of that. Yeah, probably is because they have those pure states of mind, and they sort of radiate outwards. They have that happiness, that sukha, that's generated by pure states of mind, by contentment, generosity, and so on. And this word sukha has this quality of radiating. It's when the Buddha talks about the happiness that never departs, the sukha that never departs, it's not just a sort of passive, you know, pleasurable state. That's not what he's getting at. Sukha, in this sense, is a powerful creative force in the world. In fact, the Buddha speaks of nirvana, of enlightenment itself, as the supreme sukha, the supreme bliss. And later Buddhism speaks of enlightenment as the mahasukha, the great bliss. And they speak of it as being supreme and great because it radiates from the purest of all mental states, from enlightenment itself, from the fullness of wisdom and compassion. And it radiates as love and compassion. So this isn't just a sort of passive pleasure we're talking about when the Buddha talks about the sukha that comes from these pure states of mind. It's a force which is expressed as love and compassion for others. When we fully wake up to the centrality of mind, that is where we'll arrive. We'll arrive at enlightenment. We'll arrive at the fullness of wisdom and compassion. The mind is extraordinarily powerful, extraordinarily subtle, and extraordinarily deep. It's not just the key to happiness and suffering, it's the key to enlightenment itself. The Buddha, with his enlightenment, wakes up fully to the centrality of mind. So he transforms his consciousness into the fullness of wisdom and compassion. So we need to start paying attention to our minds, to what we do with our minds, to the effects that our mind has on ourselves and on others. So pay attention to your mind, to the purity and impurity of your mind. Look at your experience. See how your experience has been generated by what you have done with your mind. So I'll just read these two verses again, and we'll stop after that and get ready for lunch, and we'll perhaps reflect on this a bit, and then tomorrow in the groups follow it up with discussion. Experiences are preceded by mind, led by mind, and produced by mind. If one speaks or acts with an impure mind, suffering follows, even as the cartwheel follows the hoof of the ox drawing the cart. Experiences are preceded by mind, led by mind, and produced by mind. If one speaks or acts with a pure mind, happiness follows like a shadow that never departs.